Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. You know, we've had a lot going on recently that, for lack of better terminology, points to the soon return, the coming epic conclusion of humanity, and the soon return of Jesus. And does that sound like a far-fetched idea? Does it sound like I'm trying to be a doomsayer? Listen to the topics that my guest Tom Don and I will be discussing today. You know, listen to the topics and the climatic devastation taking place on earth with signs in the sky and in the heavens, just as the Bible says it will be in the last days, moments before the soon return of Jesus. Listen with an open mind, and even more importantly, an open Bible. Read the Word of God for yourself and see if what we'll be discussing today doesn't appear to be pointing to the soon return of Jesus. Now, fair warning, every time Tom comes on the program, we have an outline of what we're going to discuss, but the Holy Spirit, I say sometimes, but usually, leads us down rabbit trails that are unplanned and, well, let's just say adventurous at times. Amen. So we were talking last time, and actually we talk all the time, about the convergence of things that leave us only with the conclusion that Jesus is about to return soon. But the last time, we focused on the recent space flights by civilian entrepreneurs and moved over to look at the wildfires and drought conditions, mainly out west. But there's other things going on as well. For example, during the pandemic last year, we came to the realization that certain things we always took for granted could disappear in an instant. I mean, who'd ever thought there would be a toilet paper shortage or hand sanitizer shortage? But when things shut down, people are out of work. And when people are out of work, no products are being produced, no products are being shipped, no products are being delivered. Therefore, the stores run out of supplies. And when people are out of work, obviously their income stops. And since we live in a society and culture where we're encouraged to buy now and pay later, this can come back to haunt us, folks. You know, suddenly that $5,000 Disney vacation for 7 days didn't really seem worth it when you can't pay your light bill or mortgage. And, well, that causes families to cut back on spending, and that can often lead to not paying credit card bills and things like that. So they buy just the essentials for their family and try and ignore the rest. And that's some of the topics we'll be talking about today. But first, let's welcome back to the program Tom Donna. Tom, thanks for joining us today, man.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. You know, the thing is that the news is changing so quickly, and it's all relevant to this convergence that you and I talk about. Yeah. And so that's where we try to get people to see these different things. Because, you know, I'll tell you what, in our own little bubbles, in our own little world, sometimes you just tune that stuff out. But this is not a time to be tuning things out. I don't want to see people overwhelmed, right? I just want them to see them informed, because we want to see them come closer to the Lord, because that's what's going to make the difference. That is what makes the difference.
Absolutely. And, you know, society and the culture can deny it all they want, but we're, you know, if they're looking at this with open eyes, it's like night and day, dark and light. You know, you're either with the Lord or not, and those that are with, Jesus said, you know, I'll take care of your needs according to my riches and glory, you know, by Christ Jesus. And if you're not, you're on your own. I mean, it's simple to look at, simple to explain, difficult, it seems, for some people to grasp the concept. You know, we were talking just a second ago in the introduction, you know, during the pandemic, people lost their incomes, you know, and you know, when the money doesn't come in, it's hard to have it go out. You got to have it in hand first. And the credit card companies, the banks and all that, you know, if you have credit through them, they're still expecting their payments. And, you know, that's when you're not paying your credit card bills or your mortgages and different things like that, that leads to the financial companies not being able to operate normally. Some of them have had issues. I mean, did you see recently Wells Fargo, one of the oldest banking institutions, recently cut off their lines of credit for all their customers? Did you see that?
Yes. This is the second time in this century that Wells Fargo has done this. And the reason is that they see something coming. So therefore, they want to minimize their losses by cutting off the credit lines. Because what happens is that they have this open credit line from like $1 to $100,000 in their account. And so as people are out of work, you know, where do they go? So they start tapping into that, but they don't have the ability to pay. And so therefore, Wells Fargo is rethinking this, and they've decided that they wanted to limit losses and get prepared for what's coming down the road. Now, we saw this in 2008, 2009. I have a friend at the time. I have a friend, his name is Jesse, and him and I talk about these scenarios all the time because we like to see where the directional change has taken place and then get out there in front of it before it catches up to us. So if you remember, Chicago was up for the Olympic bid. What was that? 2012 or something like that. And Chicago was gearing up for all this work and building and stuff that was going to take place. And at that time, I had seen this over-the-top dream. And the dream was that three tsunami waves and then a fourth tsunami wave came off of Lake Michigan, and I was on a 100-foot boat, right? And it rolled the first one, it rolled the second one, it rolled the third one, and then the fourth one just about tipped over. And I thought to myself, oh, no, this is going to get bad. So every tsunami wave was an economic one. As they lost the bid for that, then you saw the building trades get rid of all the extra people that they had because the country as a whole had already slowed down, yeah. Right? And Chicago was gearing up because of the potential for the Olympics. So now there's mass layoffs in waves happening. And we watched our own little office go from, what was it, about 25 repair crews down to about 8 or 9. No. Wow. And so and then, of course, the buildings, there was losses everywhere. So we had aligned ourselves to be prepared for this and be the best possible employee with no red flags, right? Because we could see this was coming. Well, at that time, my friend Jesse's son was hired by the bank to go in and clear out houses that had lost their mortgages, right? That they had assumed their mortgage or taken them back. And people just walked away. They were so underwater. They just walked away from everything in their houses. And then his son had to go in there and then clean out the house so that they could resell it. And this was his full-time job, wow. Full-time job to do that. In this area, the southwest side of Chicago and in the Chicago area. And so now we're on the verge of seeing this again. And I think Wells Fargo say that it's going to happen. So they want to make sure that they don't have a lot of losses, because what happens is that in a crash, if you got cash, then you can start buying stuff up. No. Right. And so I think they're positioning themselves again to be prepared for this next downturn that is already starting. And we're at the end of that moratorium for what? Rents and
eviction, all that stuff. Yeah. Foreclosures. Yeah.
Where are these people going to go? No, yeah. That's the thing.
Amen. Amen. And now that things are opening back up, I mean, you know, the problem with our form of government, you know, the founding fathers had it right. You know, do not allow the government to get too big, you know. And now that the government has grown, I mean, anytime something comes up, what do they want to do? We'll create a new department to handle it. Well, that department takes money because you got to hire people. And once they're mm-hmm. entrenched, you know, and then you say, well, we're going to cut back. Oh, you're going to get rid of, you know, 10,000 jobs, you know, and that doesn't look good. So they don't want to do that. You know? So, but as, you know, things are beginning to open back up, we have the government who grew to enjoy being the one in charge, you know, telling people what they could do, what they could not do, and watching them obey, you know, and trying to exert their muscles, I guess you could say, into the private lives of citizens and shutting down churches, you know, making people wear masks, making them keep their social distances, and, you know, telling us to follow the science when it came to wearing masks, keeping our distance from each other. But now, you know, the science actually says that mask wearing, despite all the claims, it doesn't really do that much to control the spread of the virus, because I've seen the one report says trying to, like, keep mosquitoes out of your yard by putting up a chain link fence. You know, that's how small the virus is and the mesh compared to the mesh on the fabric. But it was the social distancing that actually helped, you know, the isolation, people staying in their homes and not wanting to do anything. But now they insist everybody has to get their vaccinations. You know, they're even discussing having a vaccine passport, some type of identification. And I've seen some stores, is on the news recently here in the Maryland area, that you cannot go into a store, I can't remember the name of the chain or anything like that, unless you can show that you've been vaccinated. You know, and some companies are now saying, if you want to work here, you have to show proof of vaccination, different things like that. And you know, airlines have already implemented that plan where, you know, you can't fly unless you show proof of vaccination. And we've already started down that road. Have you heard anything about that?
I don't like this. I don't like this because they're forcing people to do it. And the reason, like, let's say when I was just recently out in Arizona, they, you know, the signs that they have over the expressways, the lit signs that can have amber alerts or silver alerts, you know, or other information about crashes and things of that sort, or construction. All right. This time it says 6.3 million people in the state of Arizona have gotten their vaccination. And get yours soon or something of that sort. No. And I'm thinking, okay, this is like, no, I'm not crazy about that. And so now then just shortly after that, I had, every time I give my phone number out, I get deluged with these robocalls, right? You know, these scammers. And so I don't answer the phone. So a telephone number came up and it actually went to voicemail because they don't do that, right? So it went to voicemail and I listened to it. And I don't know who this was, and I don't know that it was really him, but it was a congressman from Washington, D.C., encouraging me to get a shot. Now, I'm thinking to myself, wait, this isn't just suggestion. You know, we made it through the Spanish flu, right? That was in 1918, 1920, or 1919. And there was 675,000 people died as a result of the Spanish flu. And then it moved on. Okay, so this is going to move on. Yeah. This is already waning, and they're still pushing it. Yep. They're pushing it really hard. Now, in North Carolina, they have had a task force that have been going door to door. And I'm thinking to myself, if they come to my door, it's not opening. No. So I don't want to have this. And the reason is that I tell people, I have had COVID twice. And if it wasn't for the Lord, I'm telling you, it would have been really bad. But he watched out over me. And so the thing is that what is the best natural immunities is that when you have, your body has fought it off, yep. Right? Amen. And so I'm in a position where my immunities have fought it off. The second time that I got it, I knew I'd made a mistake. I was at Gatlinburg. There was 1,000 people there, and you can't walk the streets without going past people. And I thought, oh, Tom, you really did it this time. But the second time that I had it, it was only about 60% as strong as the first time, right? And so my body had fought it off that second time. And so I'm thinking to myself, no, I don't want this. And second of all, I have my own opinions about this shot in the first place. Mm-hmm. No. So, which if I shared, it would open up a can of worms. So, but I am not a fan of it because of the fact that I had it, as well as Senator Ron Paul. He has had the shot. I mean, he has had the COVID, mm-hmm. and he says, my body has fought it off. I do not need the shot. Give the shot to somebody else in that scenario. So to me, I feel like there is some kind of agenda here mm-hmm. that is being pushed for a purpose. And I don't know that I am crazy about what's going on with this because it's not our freedoms. Right. It's not freedoms at all. It's kind of like get in line with what's going on. And then, of course, the cruise industry is subject to this. I want to go on a cruise, but not if I have to have a vaccine passport. And then California and New York and a couple other places, they want them to have that passport, that vaccination passport. And we talked about this. This is just like in China, where they have a social credit system. Yep. And if you don't have that green thing, you can't go here or there. And they're trying to implement it here. But I will tell you, that maybe you've seen it. People are rebelling because you just can't do it again. You know, they would rather run the risk of getting sick. And of course, I feel like at least here in Illinois, Illinois is a pretty unusual state in the first place. You know, is that I feel like they juiced the numbers of the deaths in order to benefit themselves. Absolutely. And so therefore, the science, like you say, follow the science. Well, yep. Gee, all kinds of things are getting in front of the science. Yeah, what do you think?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. You know, I ran the numbers myself personally. This is several months back. And, you know, they say, this many people have died from this virus. You know, so, okay, how many people die on a daily basis before the virus started?
Yeah.
And you take those into account. And then you take the number who died according to the statistics they were sharing, Johns Hopkins and all that, on how many died from the virus. And then if you dig a little deeper, most of the people who died from the virus, not all, but I would say two-thirds, had underlying health conditions. They already had a weak heart or kidney problems or something like that. So the virus, you know, made that worse. And they may have died of heart failure, a heart attack, or kidney failure. But, he had the virus inside. So we'll say he died from the virus. You know, so they're padding, like you said, padding the numbers a little bit. But even with their padded numbers, it came out to like 1/1,000th of a percent or something like that of Americans that had died from this virus. I mean, it was just, you know, 1 out of 1,000 people that... 1 out of 1,000, if I remember correctly, 1 out of 1,000 would get the virus. And then out of 1,000 of them, I think 5 would die from it or something like that. I mean, it was just so minuscule. But when they post that number up there, that running tally, if you remember every night on the news, there's a running tally, how many people had died.
Yeah.
And it's terrible that they died. People die every day. You know, I mean, it's not saying that their deaths were meaningless or anything like that. I'm just saying people die every day. Some are murdered. Some are in accidents. Some have heart attacks. Some die of old age, you know. But they have blown this completely out of proportion. You know, more people have the flu every year than what the virus is, you know, that catch the COVID virus. More people have the flu and more people died from the flu than what died from the virus. But yet, you know, they're pushing this virus thing. And you know, it's just, you know, shut the churches down, shut the schools down, shut the colleges down, shut the stores down. All of that stuff is just ridiculous. And now I've seen recently where an Ohio judge has made it part of his sentencing processes. You know, when he's handing down sentences, one of the requirements to fulfill, especially if he's going to give you a lenient sentence, is you have to get your virus shot. You know, so they're trying to institute this as law in this nation. I mean, has this now become legally enforceable?
Yeah, that's a tightrope that somebody's going to have to challenge, right? Because there's a whole lot of support there. Let me interject here is that I was just watching just 2 days ago, a report from the UK. There's this guy that I watch from time to time. His name is Dr. Chris Martinson, and he was talking about the UK study about the Delta variant, right? And so the Delta variant is more contagious than the original strain, but yet it has the same death rate as the flu, right? Yeah. Which is very low. So now we don't want to minimize the fact that loved ones and people have died from this.
Sure.
That is very important. But at the same time, the reaction to the government to this is way beyond what is called for. So why are they doing it? I just watched a TV program and they were talking about how it was up 83.6%, you know, in this particular area. And of course, Missouri is seeing a surge. Right. So in my own county, there was like maybe last week, 20 cases? And I'm in a big county. Right. Mm-hmm. So now it is up to maybe 190. Okay. Now they say the survival rate of this is really 98%. So the effects, this is what we're saying, the effects are way overbearing to where this judge is completely out of line. With what right does he have to force somebody to do this? He doesn't have the right to force somebody to do this. This is the point, is that they're overreaching, and then they're now, okay, it's no longer the judicial branch. It is a social engineering branch. Mm-hmm. No, because the law does not support him in saying that this person needs to have that. That's totally wrong.
Yeah. And when I was in, when I was a supervisor in the military, and, you know, I'd have someone do something. I'll use the example of that. I caught them smoking marijuana. Okay. So that's an automatic Article 15. You know what that is in UCMJ. You know, you take a stripe, take some pay. And remember, this is back in the late 70s, early 80s, not like it is today. And, you know, he was a good troop. He just did something stupid. And, you know, we were up on our tactical site with radars and all that for air defense. We were in, but we were about 10 clicks south of the DMZ in Korea. So, you know, that's the type of situation we're in. And I caught him, you know, he was, I was walking by and smelled it and walked where he was high, you know, trying to seclude himself, but the wind carried the scent, you know? So I told him, I said, okay, I'm going to give you your choice. And I said, you can either go down and tell your story to the commander and take what you got coming, or you take whatever punishment I want to give you. And he said, what are you going to give me? I said, you don't know until you make your decision. You know. And he said, I'll take what you got, Sarge. I said, okay. I said, I want you to fill, because we're reinforcing our bunkers. I said, I need 1,000 sandbags filled. He said, you're going to be the one that does it. He was like, okay. It took him about a week, something like that, to get it all done. But when he got done, you know, I gave him a 4-day pass. Like, okay, here, I'm going to give you a 4-day pass because you busted your butt and I appreciate it. And I said, next time I catch you though, there's not going to be any second thoughts. You're going straight to the commander. He goes, oh, no problem. It'll never happen again, Sarge.
Yeah.
But I saved his career, but he learned there is a, you know, I allowed him to make his choice. Either we either deal with this way or we deal with it this way. Which way do you want to do it? You know?
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know, cause I haven't checked it, but it sounds like what the judge is saying, you know, 90 days, or we'll do 90 days PBJ, probation before judgment, a $500 fine or whatever it might be. And you have to show me proof that you got your vaccination. So the guy could say, I'm not getting the vaccination. Okay. 90 days. Boom. Bye. Or yeah, he had a choice, you know, but you know, like you said, I don't know if that is legal grounds or not.
Yeah.
You know, the military environment that I was talking about is a lot different back then than it is today. You know, today I'd probably be brought up for charges for, you know, abusing my privates or something, you know, but anyway, I think it might've been a choice and the guy had to make his choice, the harsher punishment or go get his vaccination. But like you said, is this becoming going to become more common that we're going to see?
Yes. That's what's troubling, is that you have somebody that is an exerting an authority that they don't have to give. And it's not just this judge. It's happening in other places, too. And so I don't like this aspect of what's going on, because I mentioned, I would like to go on a cruise, but I don't want to have to do it if I'm vaccinated, because I don't feel like I need to have it done. And so I'm going to wait it out, because sooner or later, I think they're going to change their mind. But right now, now what's happening is that you got a divide, another divide. Can you believe it? Vaccinated or unvaccinated, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So yeah. I've had it to where some people have said to, you know, really got hostile towards me about not being vaccinated. And I'm probably better off than they are, right? Having had it twice. And I finally said, listen, you're discriminating against me, right? And they finally kind of like shut up. But the point is that that's not a problem now. People are kind of like at odds about what, have you been vaccinated? And if you haven't been vaccinated, then you put me at risk. No, I don't put you at risk, you know? And so I don't like this aspect, because it divides us. This is the problem. So many different ways we're being attacked by division. We're Americans. You know, we need to encourage and help each other. We don't need to pressure them and label and judge people.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this interview with Tom Donnan. Every time Tom comes on, you just never know where the Holy Spirit is going to lead our discussions. But we've been talking about things spiraling out of control, not just here in the United States, but really all over the world. But, you know, we kind of focus on the United States because, one, that's where we're at. And two, you know,
we want you to understand that the soon return of Jesus is a lot closer than most people realize. And what we've been discussing on climate effects and the droughts and COVID-19 and the economy, and now, you know, banks are shutting down lines of credit in anticipation of a huge recession, you know, inflation going out of control, people losing their jobs, losing the ability to repay loans. So, you know, this is just the beginning, folks. Jesus said these are just the beginning of the birth pangs. So you need to come back for the conclusion of our interview with Tom Donnan in this next episode. It's going to be good. We're going to be talking about big government spying on you, big tech spying on you. And, you know, it's just, it's not getting any better. It's only getting worse. But come back for the rest of the interview with Tom Donnan. Till then, it's Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.